Cordon. How about you, Gosh? Robert Eisenman, I just got this book, The Depths of Majesty. I think I mentioned that. I saw it at my son-in-law's shul on Simchat Torah. So Moshe Eisenman is a Rosh Hashiva at the Ne Yisrael. So he made a point about Parshat Vayigash, right? Approaching Parshat Vayigash, casting a fresh glance at Psukim can be difficult. After all, we know the story so well, lived through it so many times before. Right? We've all seen the musical. We know the story. It's quite a challenge to believe there are more Kiddushim waiting in the wings. Last night, while laboring in that impression, I experienced that completely knocked me out. Came across insights of enormous significance which simply escaped me before. That moment, I really learned a powerful lesson. The Torah is simply chock full of messages for us. There's always something new to learn. There's something new to find, even the simplest of Psukim. All it takes for us to approach learning in these Psukim with a proper preparation and seriousness. So let's take a look at some of these Psukim with Rashi and see what we can uncover. So I thought, yeah, that sounded very interesting. You know, it's like, because you, right, we know the story so well there. So the insight he found was, seems like from a seemingly meaningless contradiction in the text. So this part of a Yigash is a kind of confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef reveals himself, I'm your brother. Says, come bring bring Yaakov, bring him, my father and the families down to Egypt. We've got another 5 years of famine, and I'll support you because I'm the ruler of all of Egypt. And then, so that's where, so the brothers go back to Canaan and tell Yaakov Yosef's still alive. Verse two, by that brue love, he called Yosef, I should debar lehem. And they told him, told Yaakov everything that Yosef had told them. Agalot, Asher shalach Yosef l'seidoto, and he saw those wagons that Yosef had sent to bring him. But ruach Yaakov avihem, and Yaakov's spirit was rejuvenated. His spirit lived again.
Are you going to the Eglah Arufa Midrash or something
We will
else?
definitely mention the Eglah Arufa as part of what we're doing.
Okay.
But it's not the key insight. The key insight is that when he actually goes, so he's living in Hebron. So he goes from Hebron with his family to Be'er Sheva, and then he goes in Be'er Sheva. He offers sacrifices at the Mizbeach that Yitzchak had built there. And then, source three, Yaakov gets up from Be'er Sheva, right? I mean, that makes sense geographically. They're going from Hebron to Ephraim. Vayisub b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov, Avihem, and b'nei Yisrael brought Yaakov, their father, Betapam, Betneshehem, their children, their wives, Bagalot asher shalach Paro, with the wagons that Paro had sent Lasedo to carry. So you see the contradiction.
Wait, this is chronological, two and three?
Yes.
Oh.
Verse two, then three. Two is when he's in Hebron. Then he goes, and then he goes from Beersheba to Egypt is three.
Oh, so who
Okay.
sent the wagons, Paro or
Right.
Yosef?
And here is the Agalot Paro. What does that mean? So the wagon sent by Paro or by Yosef, and the answer obviously is yes. Okay. That's always true. And that's the way war questions work. The original story about the wagons. So this is after this is in Egypt. Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. Vayomer Paro Yosef, Emor lachecha zarasu. Paro tells Yosef, "Tell your brothers, do this: Hanu up yerchem, go load up your animals, luchu bo out to Canaan, and go back to Canaan. Luchu et avichem, and go take your father, bet batechem, and your whole household. Voi, like, come here to me." This is Paro talking. I'll give you the best of Egypt. You'll eat the fat of the land. And this is what you are commanded to do. You, Yosef. Go take wagons from Egypt. Emily, really, this is a big deal, okay? This is wagon technology is not something that one simply gives away because what's the difference between a wagon and a tank? It's a bunch of soldiers, okay? I mean, this is military equipment. Boxes are boxes, you know, it's a box, a wagon is a box on wheels. Boxes are easy, but wheels are pretty high tech in the Bronze Age, and that's what you make chariots out of. So, but you take the wagons, the tapchem, for your children, that's your family, your wives, you'll set them down. Your family, you'll carry your father, but by the time you come here. And don't worry about your stuff. Because you will get the best of Egypt here. Don't worry about the money, just bring the people. As you came in Israel. And all the children of Israel did this, right? All the other brothers. By Tamlahem Yosef Agalot pi Paro. Yosef gave them wagons under Paro's command. By Tamlahem gave them food. Okay, so the answer is yes. Yosef gave them the wagons, and yes, Paro gave them the wagons. They're both true, but the pasuk
Nice
obviously
guy,
makes.
Paro.
I say
He's very nice.
he's
Paro
very
is very nice.
okay. Well, he's presented it very nice here, so. I'm going to try to understand though why the text makes this difference there. It changes from Yasher Shalach Yosef to Yasher Shalach Paro. Rabbi Eisenman has his own way of approaching it there, and I think you should read it. But this is my share. I'm going to give my approach based on his and the analogy. And we've talked before about a lot of the pieces that I'm putting together here in previous shiurim. So what Rabbi Eisenman's saying is that this description of Asher Shalach Yosef, Asher Shalach Paro, refer to Yaakov's perspective. How is he looking at these wagons? Okay, because initially the wagons tell him something about Yosef, and that's what you bring up the Egla Arufa, right? That's Rashi, famously called Dibrei Yosef. That when he heard what Yosef had said, and he sees the wagons, Siman Masar Lahem, that Yosef gave him a sign. That what were they dealing with when they separated? Right, 22 years before Yaakov and Yosef are sitting there learning Parsha Egla Rufa, talking about Egla Rufa. Don't read Agalot wagon, but Eglot calves. Specifically, Yosef said he sends the wagons. And this is at first glance, this is a very unreasonable medrash. Right, I mean. Where do you get these talking about Eglon Roof? He's not learning Torah there. They don't have a text of a Torah there to learn about that. And the Eglah and Agalah are different things. And Eglon Roof has nothing to do with their parting, right? 22 years before. What does that medrash mean, right? We need to take it seriously, not literally. So what were they doing when they parted? The last time Yaakov and
Oh,
Yosef.
they didn't have the text of the Torah, but they would have had traditions about how to behave to human beings and
So that's clearly where we're going with this.
oh.
But yes, yeah, that's absolutely right. That it says that learning about Eglah Rufa is not learning about, okay, here the pasuk says this, and it uses it about talking about Eglah and Agalah. That's not really what it's about. It's seeing the Agalot meant something. Because when they left, what were they learning about? They were learning about the mitzvah of Leviyah, of a company. That you walk with somebody else. Okay? That's what happened. Yosef, this is back in Yosef. Yaakov says, Yosef, hello, achecha, your brothers are out there shepherding in Shechem. Let me go send you there. And he says, fine, I'm here, I'll do it. So he says, go now, go please, and see how your brothers are doing, see how the sheep are doing. And come back with the report. And he sends him out from the valley of Hebron, and he goes to Shechem. And the key there is this is redundant, and it's also wrong, because Hebron's in the mountains. Hebron is on the top of the hill. What's Emek Hebron? Through the valley, okay? So, I actually did this on Google Maps. Okay, you're going out of Hebron. You go north on Highway 60, past Yerushalayim, going up to Shechem or Nablus. It's good. And actually, you can actually do Google Maps and drive up there. And at one point, I passed a bunch of bicyclists too, that were bouncing went through the Google Map van. Okay, it's in a broad valley, shallow valley. There's hills on either sides. Okay, so Emek Hebron is the road out of Hebron. So
And
Yaakov
they
sends.
go, where'd they start out? From Beersheba? No.
No, Hebron.
But that's where they were living? Well, he
Right.
takes him to Hebron and then he goes the rest of the way on his own.
So he's living in Hebron, but he
Oh,
takes
he's
him down
living
in.
in
He's living in
Hebron.
Hebron, but he's going with him into the valley. That's the point. Yaakov is sending him off from the valley outside of Hebron on the road heading north. He's going with him, and that's exactly the Chizkuni reads that pasuk, right? Rashi reads this midrashically about the Emek HaMukashel of what happened with the Bibra HaTarim. Chizkuni says, Pshat, Bahar. The city is on top of the hill. We know that. We see that through Tanakh. It's always called Har Hebron. Yaakov Liviyahu Ara Emek. And Yaakov went with him down into the valley there. Yaakov, that's what Chazal meant when they said that Yaakov accompanied Yosef by Yaoskim Parsha Egla Rufa. That's what it means that they were dealing with the Parsha of Egla Rufa, whom Misham Shachar sent them out there. So that's what Egla Rufa is all about. We know that, right? It's the mitzvah of Egla Rufa is if you find a unidentified corpse. You may say, Chalal Nofel Basadad, a dead body. You don't know what happened to Adam Yikao. You don't know what happened. You murdered him. By Yira Krovash, Al Halal, and you'll measure out, you'll find the city that's closest to their corpse. And the elders of that city will take a calf that has never been worked. Never bore the yoke. They'll bring it to down to a wadi. That was never plowed, never planted. They break the calf's neck. That's the ceremony. And the elders say, our hands did not spill this blood. We didn't see what happened. And we know about that. Rashi says, would you ever have thought that maybe they didn't spill his blood? The elders of the city are definitely not the. We're not accusing them of doing the murder. Ella lo ra'inuhu patruna b'lo mezonot b'lo leviyah. We didn't send him out. We didn't accompany this stranger there. That's what they have to certify. That leviyah, that Egla Rufa is about the importance of leviyah accompanying. This is my friend. Okay, that's what that's. It's saying that if in fact they had sent him off without leviyah, sent to some stranger out into the wilderness. Just to travel, they would in fact be guilty. They didn't. It wasn't their hands that killed him, but still, you need Levia is important. Accompanying somebody, showing they're important. When one accompanies a person, he provides him with a that he is some. We provide him with something that is basically the human condition, dignity, human covenant. You have a person that
Wait,
peace.
but it's safety, not so much dignity. You're protecting them. They wouldn't have been killed if they were with someone
I think
else.
you look. I mean, part of the interpretation is that even the addition of very active levia is enough to make you feel more secure. That you don't necessarily have to accompany somebody the whole way.
No, but wasn't the sin of the Beit Din? They sent him out alone, so he was vulnerable and killed.
All right, and I think this is even more. Are we reading a little bit more spiritually? That part of Leviyah is not just the physical protection, but the set just the very act of saying, I care about you. We're broadening that a little bit.
But
Okay, I mean, it's, I think that's, well, that, and especially because that's what gives you the, I mean, you can still make the protection there, but protection is a subset of what Leviyah implies.
I mean, but I don't know. The connection of what was the sin of the Beit Din, or who were they? Zikne, this
Yeah, the
Kenim of the
thing, yeah.
city, what was their sin? It wasn't not giving him kavod. It was sending him out alone into danger. No?
Yeah, so that's, I mean, the way Rabbi Fran puts it is that it's, that there's no requirement that it does.
But on the other hand, what did Yosef do? I mean, Yaakov. He sends Yosef into danger.
Yes, and that part, as I was saying, the actual mitzvah of Leviyah is not to accompany somebody the entire way.
Should be. See, I mean, I don't see the connection of not giving someone kavod, and therefore you're guilty of his murder. Well, not guilty, but complicit or something.
That there is something that, and the way I've seen it explained is that you will walk out with more confidence, and that in fact, just knowing that other people know that you exist is enough to give you some sense of protection. Just walking out, right? You're less likely to be mugged if you're walking
Great.
head held high,
Oh, I see what you mean. Even
head
without
held that
someone
confident.
there, yeah.
Even if you're on your own, just that, you're not a victim anymore. You are important. That
Okay.
is enough to protect you right there. Even if they're not literally there with you, knowing that.
Okay.
Okay? Is the way I've seen
Yeah.
that, looked at the via there, even if they're not literally taking you the entire way.
Okay.
Okay? And that's what the kavod part of it is that I have to have that self-confidence in me, and that really will deter the highway robbers.
Okay.
Don't look like a victim. Okay. And that's kind of the message of what the Egla Arufa was about. So not so much they were learning the text of the Torah there, but that they were learning this mitzvah that was inherent in that. And that's why he's not accompanying the whole way. And you're right, the irony is obviously he gets in trouble and he's waylaid by these terrible people who happen to be his brothers. But at least Yaakov tried. Right? Yaakov's demonstrating that mitzvah of Chesed Yosef. And so he sees that Yosef remembered that and sent the wagons to bring him down in comfort, right? He's not going to go on a donkey. He realized that Yosef was still his son. That's what he sees. Ah, that's my son. The Rebbe Soloveitchik says is that it's not just that Yosef is alive, but he's still Ben Yaakov. He still remembers what it meant to be a Ben Yisrael. The way Rebbe Soloveitchik puts it, Jacob was now trying to determine if both his son and his disciple were still alive. A ruler of Egypt, he thought, must certainly be assimilated into general pagan society. Jacob could not believe that Yosef has preserved his spiritual identity and been loyal to the teaching he absorbed in Jacob's. Yeah.
So this is why it's Yosef sent them. So how
Right.
do
He
we
looks at
to
them and sees them as
how
Yosef.
Paro sent them?
Right, now the brothers laid the last lesson that Yaakov and Yosef had shared together. He realized Yosef remains his disciple as well as his son. This clearly means something.
Okay.
So then what changes? The answer,
Okay.
it changes when he goes to Beersheba. What happens at Beersheba? Here's the story. Vayisra Yisrael
This is
b'chol
on the way to Egypt. He's
Right.
on the way to Egypt.
He's on the way to Egypt, right? He's coming from Hebron. Stops in Beersheba, Vayisra Yisrael v'chol Shiloh, Vayivo Be'er HaShava. They stop in Beersheba. Vayizbach Tzvachim L'Elokei Aviv Yitzchak, and they offer sacrifices. They invented the carbon that we call Shlamim for his father Yitzchak. Yitzchak had built the Mizbeach in Beersheba, way back in Parshat Toldo. Vayomer Elokim Yisrael. And now we have a nevuah from God to Yaakov, to Yisrael. Vamera Laila, vision at night. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, and God says, Yaakov, Yaakov. Vayomer Hineni, and Yaakov says, Hineni, I'm here. Echoing Yosef's Hineni
Yosef.
when he
Yeah.
sends it back there, because this is kind of the same thing. Vayomer Anochi Akel Okeh Avicha, I'm God, your fathers. Al tira midem Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. Gil goy gadol asimcha Hashem, because you will become a great nation there. Mitzrayim, I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will come back with you. Yosef yashit yadav ba'einecha, and Yosef will put his hands over your eyes in Egypt. Yaakov Beersheba, and Yaakov gets up from Beersheba. Okay, so what happened? So don't,
Yeah.
notice this nevuah that he gets in Beersheba. Right? Hashem tells him, don't be afraid.
Like he was afraid.
No, that's the point. It's like when you get a call from your kids, they say, don't worry, Abba, everything's
Right.
fine. Don't worry. What's the
Right.
first thing you do if your kid tells you not to worry?
What happened?
Start worrying. Okay, I wasn't worrying before you told me that. Right. That's, I mean, this is, right? And the other thing is, no, it's Hashem appears to Yisrael and calls him Yaakov.
Ah,
And then when he gets up, it's now Yaakov. And Bnei Yisrael are carrying Yaakov Avihem. Yaakov is the not Yisrael is the name of Sarah of Sirirut, right? We know that from Phyllis Shapiro, right? Yaakov is the name that he gets as a sense of power of rulership. Yisrael is. Yaakov is the name of weakness, coming from behind, holding onto the back. It's the name of Golub. Okay? He's getting the news here, right? He says, Hineni, no, something bad's coming. Happen here, right? Goy gadol simcha Hashem, you'll become a great nation down in Egypt. From Yaakov's point of view, he's going down to Egypt for 5 years, right? Yosef tells him, I had these dreams, Paro had these dreams. It's been 2 years of famine. We got 5 years left. Yaakov figures he's going for 5 years to come back to Canaan. Hashem tells him here, no.
But he did say, I'll be with you.
I will be with you in Egypt, right? You'll be great nation, Egypt. I'm going down with you to Egypt. This is the beginning of the Galut.
What is that? Alecha gam ale.
Although
Hello.
I will certainly go. It's a the intensive duplicative, the double meaning.
Oh, I thought you said.
Halacha gamalo. I will go back. I will go up with you. I will certainly go up with you.
Oh, I thought. When you translate it, you said, I'll go with you and I'll come back with you. No.
Yeah, I mean that's what I meant. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will go up from Egypt with you.
Oh, it does mean that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going down to Egypt with you. I will be accompanying you and your family. You'll be a great nation there.
But I'll also come back with you to Eretz Yisrael.
That's Israel, right?
Oh, okay.
Eventually, I mean,
Oh.
this is the news that that they've been having. They've had this prophecy since Abraham, right? Hashem's telling him right now, this is it. This prophecy is coming true. This is not a 5 year hanging out in Egypt for a little bit. This is the beginning of the Galut, of the of Adumi Nuotam. That's why he turns from Yisrael to Yaakov here. That's what he's telling him. Don't be afraid. And Yaakov says, I wasn't until you told me that. Now I'm afraid. So now he's looking differently. So Bnei Israel, his children are still Bnei Israel. They have no idea what's happening. But Bnei Israel are going down. They're going to have short time in Egypt, enjoy the sights, see the pyramids, and come back into Canaan back home. But it's Yaakov Avihem. He knows what's going on here. Beginning, this is the beginning of a very long journey. It's not over soon. Okay?
Good.
And
Yeah.
that's what the Ramban says about this, about that, this Yaakov Al Tered. Pasuka Zeh Yesh Bo Sod. This pasuk has a very deep meaning. Yigulato B'Sham Beishit Rabbah, and the Midrash explains it. Yasher Ba Yaakov L'Eretz Mitzrayim, as he's going down, Ra'a Ki HaGalut Yatchil Bo Zaro. This is where he sees that the Galut is beginning. That's what this does. And that what he approaches, now he's seeing these wagons in a different light. They're now the ones that Asher Shalach Paro. Paro is selling them. And you said he's nice. But no, this is because Paro wants Bnei Israel down to Egypt as soon as possible. Right? The exile is sucking them in. And Rav Soloveitchik looks at it in a more positive way about Paro, that Paro appreciation for genius. What is it? Yosef derived this brilliance from his father. And talking, okay, we're going to get a bunch of Jews here. We like that. It's like the Poles invited the Jews in. Like the Turks did when they conquered from the whoever was ruling Baghdad at that point. We like having Jews around, they're smart. Therefore insisted Yaakov be transported to Egypt with great respect. Weizmann says a little more negatively, right? That Egypt, not content to wait placidly for its exiles, anxiously pacing back and forth, moment signal given, it pounces, rushes to take them, right? We're sucking, right? The wagons are there so that power can suck them in. And that's what he's looking at these wagons now. Not as a symbol of chesed that Yaakov's doing, but now that, okay, we're now, these are the moving vans that are moving me out of my home into Galut. So what does Yaakov do with that? And that's the
Chesed
insight.
Paro was doing. Right. You said
What?
chesed that it
But
wasn't
Yosef,
chesed
it's
that
not that
Paro.
he's seeing it as, but he's not seeing it as a chesed that Paro is doing. It's simply a symbol of
Okay,
Galut, right?
right.
That we are now. We're now stuck here. We're not going to
Okay.
be stuck in Egypt, right? That's what these wagons now mean. So to
And
respond, that's the rabbi.
Yaakov knew, or he knew.
Right. That's the, right. This nevuah that he got from Hashem very clearly said, You are going
Right.
down to Egypt, and you're going to become a great nation down in Egypt. Okay, this is not a short stay coming forward. But it does with it. Okay, so here going back puzzle. By Yakum Yaakov Beersheva, when he leaves Beersheva, by Suba Israel, Yaakov Ham Av Tapam, Hashem Bagalot Asher Shalach Paro. Going in the wagons, now he's looking at these are Paro's wagons. These are Egyptian wagons here. Okay, by Yehud, okay, they took their cattle. And they took all of their belongings, the belongings that they had acquired in Canaan. I mean, Paro said, don't worry about your claim, don't worry about your stuff. You have plenty here. He takes Rechusham. By Avot Mitzrayim, they go to Egypt. Yaakov closes her toe. Yaakov and all his sons. So Rashi says about this. Asher Rachshu Be'eretz Canaan. Why add that comment? Aval Ma Asher Rachat B'Patan Aram. Remember, he comes back rich from Aram, from Alavan. And he comes back with all these cattle, all the sheep. He's phenomenally wealthy after he was with his father-in-law. But all that wealth he got in Paddan Aram, Natana Kol Esav Bishvil Chalkova Mar Tamach Pela. He bought Esav's share in Mar Tamach Pela. Goes to Esav and said, you know, here's a whole lot of money. I want to buy your share. I want the ancestral home in Hebron, or ancestral burial place in Hebron. Achar Amar Nechsechutza Aretz Einan Kedaili. He said, I don't want, and that's the stuff I acquired outside of Eretz Yisrael, I don't need. It's not appropriate. Which it means, and that's what Yaakov tells Yosef in Vayechi at the end of his life, that I want you to bury me in Mar Machpelah, is Bechiri Asher Kariti Li Be'eretz Canaan. One of the meaning of Kariti, this is the grave that I have bought for myself in Canaan. He pays for it with Rechush of Chutz La'aretz. He only takes with him. Again, he's brought everything down clearly to with him down to Beersheba. And at Beersheba, he decides, no, all I want is Rechusham Asher Rechshu Be'eretz Canaan. Through this change of perspective comes a change of plans. He doesn't need to bring a wealth. He doesn't need that because Yosef already has enough. Paro promises him everything. And long term, it's going to be irrelevant what they bring. Hashem promised they'll come out with Rechush Gadol. That's fine. What they need to bring down now is Rechusham Asher Rechshu Be'eretz Canaan. And what's that? What is
The
Yaakov deciding? What is
legacy
Yaakov's?
of Avram and Yitzchak, I guess.
Thank you. You know,
And Sarah.
I'm telegraphing here, right? I'm just telling you exactly what I'm thinking. That's what he's got to bring down. Okay. So the hint of Parshat Truma. Parshat Truma says, we'll build the Mishkan. Parshat Moshe Mar, the Baral Bnei Israel, Bichuli Truma, tell Bnei Israel, I want you to take donations for me. Anyone who feels generous, get these donations. This is what I want. Gold, silver, copper, the color of cloth. Animal skins and acacia wood. So Rashi quoting the Medrash. Says, I say she Tim, okay. Umayin lahem bamidbar. And how did they have I say she Tim with them as they're wandering through the wilderness? Long lumber. A partial Rabbi Tachuma, quoting the Midrash. Yaakov Avinu tzipa baruch hakodesh yatidin Yisrael of no mishkan bamidbar. Yaakov saw that they were going to need to build a mishkan eventually. Vevi arazim lumitzrayim. And he brought lumber. Arez here doesn't mean cedar, literally, as the Arabic says. Shittim wood, brought lumber to Egypt, lumber trees to Egypt in that time and planted them there. And he commanded his children, you should take this with you when you leave Egypt. That's what he brought. I'll say Shittim. So the way that.
He didn't plant trees, he brought lumber.
Well, this is 200 years later. It reads as planted trees.
And planted trees?
He had a copse of trees that they preserved there in Egypt while they're living in Egypt, that this is the SHE team from Israel.
Oh, he didn't leave it on the way. He took it with him.
That was the point, right? That's what he took. That's what he brought down with him, were these trees that they would plant that would eventually be the SHE team for the Mishkan. And the way it's brought in Bereishit Rabbah, I think, is the way to look at it. Okay, by Yisrael, this is he Yisrael went and he goes to Beersheba and he leaves Beersheba. Hechan, why? What does he do in Beersheba? What is? Where does he go in Beersheba? Rav Nachman shehalach lekotz arazim shnata Avram zekenenu beBeersheba. He went to go cut the arazim, the trees that Avraham had planted in Beersheba. That's what he brought down there. Where do you see that? When it says Vayita, we'll look at the pasuk Avraham planted in Beersheba. Look at that in a second. It
But it's
says,
a different tree.
what?
What is Arazim? That's a different tree, or is that just
Right.
a
So I'm not going to
generic?
get to right now, but Erez in the Midrashic sense refers to any lumber tree. There's a the Midrash
Okay.
that says that there are 10 kind of
Okay.
Arazim,
And
including.
one is Shittim.
Right, which
Okay.
is shittim, and you can use zayat,
Okay.
and then the literal erez of cedar is also a kind of erez. So the word is used in two
Okay.
different senses. So an erez is a tree that one makes lumber out of, that
Okay.
grows reasonably straight and tall. And you can talk to Sam Zitin about what kind of acacia tree goes tall and straight. He's the wood guy. Give a shiur on that. That the ones you usually see in the pictures of Africa aren't really good for lumber. But anyway, but so the question is, it looks at the briach etichom b'toch Hashem, that there was one pole in the middle of Mishkan that went the entire length of the Mishkan. Amar Rav Levi, a briach etichom shneim u'shloshim amah, that really was 32 amot long, which is pretty long. Ayubo, okay, that was 32 long. Mehechan matzua telasha. How could they find such a huge piece of wood? Amar Ella, Yaakovian. They had preserved from the times of Yaakov. They knew they could need it. They view me mama Mitzrayim, and they brought them to Egypt. Lo nimsa behem lo keshev lo peka, and these trees grew straight. There was no knots, no wounds in them. They grew them. Vayunogim behem isur mishum kedusha to Aaron, and they would kept these trees holy. Throughout their time in Egypt, they knew this was. What Yaakov brought that Avram had planted. Amralahem, al tishnu miminagavotehem, don't, that they had this tradition from their fathers, they're going to keep these trees around. Little cups. A cup, COPSE. Okay? So, oh, right. Oh, that's weird. It underlies, by this is Safari automatically finding links and things. By Yikra is like the Chumash there. It thinks there's a link to something.
Oh.
So the pasuk in Bereishit, what is he plant? Vayita Eshel. Abraham plants an Eshel in Beersheba. Like Rasham b'shem Hashem Kalam, and he calls a God there. Vaygar Abraham b'Eretz Yisrael. So he plants an Eshel. What's an Eshel? So one translation is a terebinth, a kind of tree. But this is the Midrash sense on that. Eshel Roshei Tevot was Eshel
Oh.
Achila Shtia Leviya. That's what he
Okay.
plants there. He plants a place for eating, drinking, and a company. Yeshamim Eshel Mamash in
In
Beersheba.
Beersheba. Okay.
Okay, there's an oasis there. There's enough to have some trees there. Yesh omrim, o eshel mamash. Some would say it was an actual tree. That's what they made the brichim and the poles of the Mishkan out of. Yaakov Avinu harodu l'Mitzrayim kisher l'sham, and Yaakov brought the literally both literal trees down. Or the other meaning of eshel is achilah v'yashtia is asa pundak. He had an inn. Right, that was his famous tent with the doors open on all sides. And anyone who would go would come to his inn. That was his Avram's chesed, was the Eshel. He would feed them. And after they ate, Avram would say, and you should thank God. And he would spread the word of the ethical monotheism by giving people food, because that's a great way to encourage people.
A nice analogy to today. There's this famous spot near Aza, in Israel, like a big open air tent that has food 24 hours a day for soldiers coming in and going out. And
That's an
they
issue.
have massages there and haircut. They have people there who take, pinuk for the soldiers.
Okay, what's it called?
I forgot the, I'll send it to you.
Okay, so Eshel would be the right word there. Maybe
Oh,
Achilles
yeah.
would be
It,
the
but
call it
it's
be
not
Eshel.
near Beer Sheva, but still.
Okay, you know, that's the
Yeah,
idea.
but
So
it's
the
the
idea that that's
Eshel of Achilah, Shtiyah, and Leviyah.
right. So that's the idea. That's what we're seeing here is that right as soon as he learns that Yaakov learns that they're going down to Mitzrayim, what he does is he takes the Eshel of Avraham Avinu down there. What you
Right.
take literally as the tree or simply the concept of the Achilas Leviyah for everyone else, it's the same thing, right? And this is the way the Emma Yaakov Kamenetsky puts it. Here's how I tell that called Kavanam Yuchidabaz. Yaakov's intention here. Hine be'emet, the truth is Yaakov Avinu haya yirem ma'od miret Mitzrayim. Right? Yaakov was very afraid about going out to Egypt. Ki chashash pen chas v'shalom yishtaku b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, the b'nei Yisrael end up being stuck in Egypt. And they would end up, tell me, we would be buried in the among the other nations, and they'll be unable to return. Just like he was afraid about Yosef being assimilated. His fear was assimilation. They would love Egypt. That's just exactly what happened. What just about happened, almost happened. Ben Zaro, he already Mitzrayim, Ben Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he wanted to be more Zionistic. He wanted some connection to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and he could show you Imam Emir, it seems. So he wanted there to be a stand of trees, at least stand of trees, but the Bar Nimsar, Midor Lador. Every generation in Egypt would know that this Mesorah Yaakov Avinu, they're from the tradition back from Yaakov, that we will leave Egypt, right? We still have our little bit of Israel here in Egypt. These trees that Yaakov brought from Israel, these are what Avraham had planted. They're ready for us when we leave.
So
So
he's
we have
taking it as an
six.
actual
He's
physical
taking it
freeze.
as a literal way of looking at that. I think
Yeah.
it works either way. That you know, so Yaakov, I think what Yaakov needs, what he has to bring down with him is the issue. In the sense of the mandate of Achilles Shtiyah of Olivia. Okay? That's what he had previously seen that Yosef kept and what kept Yosef as Yosef over those 22 years. That's what the Parsha Egla Rufa meant there. And so he's saying now that that's what we keep in Israel intact for the next 210.
And that Leviah is the
Is a
link.
connection that and that's in the sense not some of the chesed of caring about the other, as Levinas puts it. And the fact that Emmanuel Levinas is named Levinas after Levia cannot be a coincidence either.
Who?
Emmanuel Levinas, the French Jewish philosopher who talks always about the ethic of being of the other. The
Oh.
ethics always have to be about caring about others. I've quoted him before. He's a pretty deep, important thinker.
Nice.
Okay, and so that's what keep an Israel intact for the next 210 years. So Yaakov knows they're going to have to live in Egypt. Even the rest of his family is living in denial. And this is a point where you've grown.
I just saw it now. You have to see it.
Yes. Okay. And that's cool.
Very nice. I'm going to send you, they should name that place Eshel. You're right.
I can't imagine it. Or I didn't think about that. Okay, I will stop here.